Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. My name is John McNally and I'm almost ready to say it. Whisper it. Get the league winners t-shirts printed. Almost ready to say that. 8 games to go, 17 points clear, still unbeaten, and 7 points over the last 3 games, and we are here to discuss all of that. Unfortunately though, my usual partner in crime isn't feeling very well, so get well soon, Ross. Instead though, I brought you another ginger god of pod, the former voice of Falkirk TV, Libby! Lewis Connolly, everyone.
Good to be back, thanks again.
Thank you for
coming. I have to say, before we go any further, John, just when you were saying all that stuff, you know, undefeated in like 28, 29, 17 clear, etc., etc. I love it when you talk dirty. I have to say,
I really do. I mean, it's when you looked at that run of games that we've just had there, obviously we dropped points against Allen, but then going away to Cove and then the effort that got put in Stirling to dig out that 3 points and keep it at 17 points. I mean, that's why I'm saying, you know, for the last few weeks, everyone's saying, oh, John, it's done. Oh, John, everyone at my work. But I'm just like, no, it's no. I'm a Falkirk supporter. No, it's no. But, I mean, God, you know, we'd have to go on the worst run probably ever in Falkirk history. And then Hamilton would have to probably go on the best run ever in their history or whatever. So you just go... But you don't want to see it. You don't want to see
Correct.
It.
There's that little bit of your brain that just always doubts it. But you know what? We're in a great place, and I think it will be a good ending to the season.
Yeah. So we're all looking at our calendars, looking at when can we win it now? Currently, it's looking like Montrose, which Lewis is gutted about. Because, Lewis, what are you doing?
The one game between September and May that I couldn't make is, you guessed it, Montrose.
I know
it's a wedding that I definitely can't get out of.
I know, and the tickets went on sale for Montrose today as well. It looks like we have half the stand and full terracing at the end. I suspect, I was speaking to my Mark, who's been on the show, Montrose supporter, because I asked them today, I said, will Montrose give us 4,000 tickets? Because the capacity of Links Park's 4,900.
Right.
I was looking at Rangers. Previously played there when they were doing their journey through the leagues, and it was about 4-2 at the game, and I was like, what are the chances if we could win the game at Montrose, what are the chances of Montrose board giving us the 4,000? He says there's no chance, I believe. But I mean, I think we could, bear in mind it's on the telly as well, potentially 2, I think would take more than we take to Stirling, so maybe if we've got the chance to win it there, it'd be 3,000 maybe, up.
Yeah, I could see certainly a couple of thousand going up easy, and the one thing I would say is this time, they would definitely open the terracing behind the goals, which last time we went up there, it was completely shut.
Yeah, so that I think would happen. I mean, actually looking at the Montrose got an average tense about 500, we were... Because it was, bearing in mind it was midweek the last time we played them, it was 775 there. I mean, that's what I said to my mate. I said, the board would be foolish to turn away all that money. I mean, they could, you know, 6 times the normal crowd, 7 times the normal crowd they normally get. I mean, that is worth a lot of money to Montrose, you know. So we'll wait and see, but Libby, unfortunately, might miss it. I'm going to miss it, Edinburgh, so I don't, if Hamilton slip up this weekend...
One of us is going to be very disappointed. I'm praying that Stirling Albion or Cove can do something in the next
game. Oh, no. We just leave it and win it against Cove, against Mr. Hartley at home, so...
Oh.
That would be wonderful. But we'll wait and see. Anyway, that's all down the line. Let's not count our chickens, but I want to count the chickens. Right? But we've got to say thank you so much. We've got a brand new sponsor here on Falkirk Daft, and it is the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, who are getting ready for the Lava Cup, which is being held at the stadium on Saturday the 25th of May. This is going to be brilliant, right? If you don't know about the Lava Cup, it's basically an international tournament which takes place for over 30s and brings players from all around Europe, basically forming friendship, improving fitness, mental well-being, and creating a pathway to change people's lives through football. The Falkirk Football Fans in Training, they're a brilliant bunch of boys. We've had them on the podcast before. You know, if you're willing to get involved in it, they'd love to have you. You know, they're never out of that hospitality, I tell you. And it's just a brilliant, brilliant group of guys that are there to support each other and help mental well-being, as they say. And that's what the Lava Cup's all about. So it's happening, like I say, Saturday, 25th of May, and the opening says at 11:30. Get along, support the boys, because the money's going to go to Strathcairn Hospice and the FDAMH. And if you want to get in touch with the boys, Dougie, Mark, or Ian are the boys. The Facebook page is in the link in the bio. So click on that, get through, get involved, and definitely get down to the Lava Cup. And we thank, once again, Falkirk Football Fans and Training for sponsoring Falkirk Daft. End of season party is now sold out. Way behind the wall, 3rd of May. Lewis, you're going to be there?
Yes, I'm going to be there. Absolutely.
Do you know who else is going to be there? Sam McGivern is going to be there doing a season review with us on stage. We're going to ask, going out to the crowd, asking your opinions of the season. We're going to have games going on. When I say games, I'm not meaning chill games. There'll be chances to win stuff. We did it at the Fortress Brockville night. We're going to have a visit to the big blue chair once again. So get your stories at the ready for that. And even better, we're going to have a couple of players from the club join us. If touch wood, the league's won by the last game of the season.
And if a certain gentleman with a baseball cap says yes,
I think it will be. Anyway, so that's happening. And I also need to touch on the Russell Appy night. Now, a lot of people have been in touch with us about the money situation, not getting refunds. I have reached out to the organiser several times, tried calling them, tried texting them, no response. However, I've got maybe a solution for you. I believe it was through Eventbrite that the tickets were purchased. Now, I am in, thank you very much to, I'm just getting the name, Harry, who got in touch with us, saying if you request a refund directly with Eventbrite, explaining it's been months since the postponement, you can get refunded. Now, if you bought your tickets for the Russell Appy, I'm at this point where I'm basically advising, go and get a refund. Go and get through Eventbrite, because this guy's ducking and dodging us. We were brought into this event under a pretense that, you know, looking at his background, he'd done events and at Hibs and Hearts, all went fine. We've been told it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. But I'm now just at the point, you know what? He's screwed over too many Falkirk supporters. He's got all your money. So I would go and get an Eventbrite. And then if he does the event, I think there's too much ill will there now from Fox Sports. But go to Eventbrite now, explain it's been months since the postponement and you can get refunded. So go and do that now. We're at that point. It's been a year and a half or how long since the event was meant to happen. He's not returning any of my messages. So go and get your money back, guys. And maybe we can put on a night with Russell Flatterby. Let's get Big Russell over, and maybe that's something down the line. But anyway, that's just a bit of advice if you have got tickets for the Lappy night. Right, okay, continuing. Johnny has been in touch, Lewis. He says, hi, Dad, lads. Looking for a favourite. It's my son's 21st on the 14th of March. I was hoping to give him a wee shout out for the podcast. He's in the ultras, so it'd be good to embarrass him. So I was thinking of one of your photos on your podcast, something like that might go out. So if you are watching the YouTube version, here's an embarrassing photo of Nathan Evans. If you're not watching the YouTube versions, you'll have to jump on and have a look at that embarrassing photo of Nathan. Now, it's not Nathan Evans, the guy who does all the sea shanties, Lewis, right? It's not that guy.
Well, I mean, it's impressive if it is.
This is Nathan Evans, who started going to the games when he was about 5. He used to get so bored after 10 minutes and started playing with his Nintendo DS for the rest of the game. This is what Johnny's dad sent us, by the way.
To be fair, some of the stuff we've seen in recent years, I mean, that's, you know, fair enough.
Well, he said he eventually realised he was Falkirk through and through at the Hampden semi-final versus Hibs when he went from utter joy at being 3-up at half-time to having to console him at full-time when we got beat 4-3. We all needed a hold and a console that day. It was horrible, that. He's now a proud member of the Ultras and rarely misses a game. So happy birthday, Nathan. Love your daddy. Kiss, kiss. I feel like a children's TV presenter. And the dog says happy birthday as well. So happy birthday, Nathan, 21. Keep going with the Ultras, and glad to hear your Falkirk through and through. And on the birthday spot, we should turn this into a regular feature, birthday corner. Happy birthday to Ross's nephew, because Ross can't be on here, Ryan McInnes, who's just turned 16. So Uncle Ross, Ryan, has told me he's got £100 for you. So just go and chap on his door, get your £100, and all will be fine in the world. Why are you screwing your face up? That's what Ross told me.
Is this the same Ross we're talking about here?
Oh, yeah, he said Ryan can get what he wants, £100.
Yeah, that's right. Ross is opening his wallet and there's £100 coming out of it.
I said, that's what the man said.
Years I've known Ross, right? Ryan, take everything you can get, pal.
Absolutely. So go and ask your Uncle Ross for £100, Ryan. Tell it was John that sent you. Right. Talking about birthdays. Did you see the picture of the Falkirk armband getting given out at Stirling Albion? It's on our socials right now.
No.
Right. So
yes. Stephen McGinn. The man with the sign. Oh.
Yeah. Stephen McGinn went over. Aye. Obviously, we have Falkirk Daft's proud to support the captain's armband. News on that coming soon as well. But Stephen, you know, as is protocol, goes over at the end of the match, and it's Brett the Hitman Hart, but my wrestling references are lost on everyone. But Stephen went over and gave the armband to, you know, a bairn who was thoroughly deserved of the armband. However, there's a picture of the armband being handed out, and there's a little boy's face who's holding up the sign saying, "It's my birthday," and his face is a picture. And I saw the picture a bit awful.
You just wanted the world to like open up and swallow at that point.
That was horrible. But anyway, I am happy to announce, I've not got the name of the wee boy, but his mum, Emma McKinnon, has been in touch, and we're going to sort out a captain's armband for the wee boy, because my heart broke when I saw that picture. Yeah, after I laughed, my heart absolutely broke. So you can see that on our socials, but don't you worry, the wee boy is getting sorted out of a captain's armband, so always well in the world. More on the Stirling game. Rab Fleming, we all know Rab. He was buying everyone a pint before the game at the Stirling Albion game there. But he said, loads of bairns piled into Stirling County Cricket Club on Saturday. So he wants to say thanks to everyone that went along. Rab also wants us to put pressure on Aloha to give us the North Stand for the last game of the season.
Ooh, interesting.
I wonder if he could potentially, obviously, split the stand. It's there to do it. I suspect they might try and do that.
Possibly, but I mean, it just depends on segregation.
You can split the North Stand, can't you?
Well, the North is the terrace, so it would need to be west.
No, because it's at our place, Ulis. So I'm talking about the North Stand.
Sorry, home game. Apologies. Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? Actually, that's a great shout.
Hmm.
Yep. Do you know, we could have enough people there for, if it is Trophy Day, which we hope it will be, with all due respect to Aloha, they're going to bring 200 fans.
Yeah, so
Give them one section in the northeast corner, stick, you know, the usual tarpaulin thing and some tape down it with a line of stewards. I think that's a great shout.
Yeah, I think it could happen. So, yep, that's a Rab, you've set the ball rolling in that, and I'm sure the club are looking at that anyway. I'd be surprised if they aren't. Do you want to hear from Den and Lewis?
This is random. Go for it.
Oh, Den and Jeff, what are you talking about? It's random. Den gets in touch with us every single show. Anyway, Den's been back in touch. Hi, Den. And he says, hi, guys. Let me clear up a mystery surrounding my non-appearance in the Woking match day squads for last Tuesday night's match versus Kidderminster and Saturday's game against Altrincham. I told Dopey Doll that I needed 3 weeks off to appear in Celebrity Big Brother. Right? While Woking were somehow managing to win both games without me, and you guys had your 27th and 28th consecutive fluke result in League One, the eagle-eyed amongst you would have noticed me in the crowd outside the Celebrity Big Brother house. I was the one holding up the get it up, you Ekin Sue. After my disappointment surprisingly missing out on Love Island All-Stars, I had figured out I must be a dead cert for Celebrity Big Brother. After all, how could they not want Denon, the most handsome devil ever to appear on Love Island, as one of the housemates? When I asked Dopey for the 3 weeks off, he seemed very happy for me. After rolling his eyes in a dreamy way he does every time I'm in his presence, he quickly agreed to give me gardening leave that could give the CBB viewers what they wanted. Imagine my disgust on the Monday night when I was not announced as a housemate. Instead, they had two gormless old cretins from X Factor and a selection of other non-enies, including bloody Ekin Sue. Dopey must be devastated. No Denon skills for Woking versus Kidderminster or Altrincham, and only ITV stupidly to blame for this. Not that I'm jealous or anything, but the two brain cells that occupy the black hole vacuum within Ekin Sue's skull have billion to one chance of colliding in the next 3 weeks. So there's a little prospect of any good TV there. Also, I hope you get noticed a cute little rainbow that I drew on the corner of my Get Ekin Sue Out banner. This was Denon's tribute to our brave NHS workers who sacrificed so much during the COVID wars, lest we forget. Frankly, I find it appalling that I'm now the only one in my street still observing the 2 minutes doorstep applause at 8 p.m. every Thursday. What is wrong with people? Anyway, up your hell, rat. Love, Denon.
Boys destined for the top, what can I say?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'll tell you a wee story about Denon one day.
Oh, please do.
One day I will.
Oh, come on. You can't leave us hanging like that.
Okay. How should we put it nicely? Incident.
Yes.
At Oakview.
Uh-huh.
I did the post-match interview with Denon that day. There was myself, Stuart, Denon, and there was a young lad, maybe about 10 years old, at the side of the pitch. And when Denon came out to do the interview, he was quite happy, chatted to the young lad, had a wee picture, signed at a top and stuff. He was completely unaware that anything had happened. Right. As in, no issue, hadn't heard a single thing. Uh-huh. Suddenly, a day later, you know, it's on back page news that he definitely heard stuff and was offended, but he'd all been told it later on that night after the game.
Right.
That situation stank from day one.
Yeah, that was deflection.
Because the player himself was completely oblivious when I interviewed him after that game. He had no issue. It was something that someone said to him after.
Interesting. I wonder who set that up. Who was in charge at that point? I don't know. Anyway, new club news. Lewis, a few things to talk about. Cal Morrison wins Player of the Month for February. Yep. Any argument against it?
Not really. I mean, he deserves it just for signing that new contract.
Well, there is that. So, that Callum, I think it's obviously well deserved. I mean, Callum's... Now, here's a question for you, Lewis Connolly.
Go on.
And this is a question for all of you listening to the podcast or watching it. I was asking this question on Saturday when I was sat beside my pal Gary in the stand. Who's a better player, Callum Morrison or Calvin Miller?
Ooh.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
Let's get that cat amongst the...
I mean, it's like choosing between your two favourite Waynes right now, isn't it?
Oh, I know. It's a tough one, isn't it?
I don't know if I could choose between them. I really don't. Technical ability, I think Calvin has been... a breath of fresh air down that left side. He's been superb. Cal, every time you think Cal's about to have a wee dip or he goes quiet, suddenly he pops up with a goal. You could just never write that boy off. Honestly, I'm absolutely torn.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think this is a discussion to put on our social media, because I think it's a really interesting discussion. It's
how you even decide. Like, is it goals? Is it assists? Is it creativity? But things are both so strong with everything.
I know.
Oh.
I'm going to throw that one out there. Please get
savage.
In touch.
I like it, yeah.
Get in touch with us at FalkertDaft on Twitter or on Facebook or Insta. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. Hamilton versus Falkirk, another game for the telly. God, we are telly divas. Can I get us off Saturday night telly, you know, these days? I mean, it's better than the Masked Singer. Let's put
all
it that
the Bairns.
Absolutely. 5:30, Douglas Park. 12th, 13th of April. The only problem with this, Lewis, however, is I'm going on the same bus as you. Now, we booked this bus for 12:30. Our friend and colleague who's missing, Ross Wayne, booked the bus for 12:30, and now he's put it. He said, well, we'll put the bus back later. Yeah. So he's put it back to 1:30, which means there's 4 hours, probably meeting before it as well, and then you've got 4 hours up to the game. That spells danger for me.
I see no problem with this situation.
Right, okay.
It's epic.
Right, there we go. So that's Hamilton. So that's an odd game for the telly following Queen South, Montrose, and then and we've got we're on the telly against Cove as well.
There's a fourth one as well.
Yeah, Cove at home. So yeah. BBC Albert are just hedging their bets of when we're going to win this league, pretty much. Board update. Again, long-winded update, which is basically says good. Give us your money. That's pretty much the board update as per usual. An interesting point I would like to put out, and I don't think you've read it in full, but I thought this was a really interesting point this regarding the patrons group. It says, we've been exploring ways to grow the patrons group and have agreed a new long-term initiative which will help refund the rebuild of our academy for a minimum contribution of £100 or £1,000. Supporters can join the group, enabling to vote for board representatives or stand in the election themselves. In addition, we're close to securing an annual five-figure donation, which will help fund the academy, which is brilliant news for the next 10 years. And I hope that works. We'll similarly step forward to ensure we continue the offer of modern apprenticeships to evaluate the academy back to the SFA performance level. If anyone's interested, you should get in touch with Kenny at the moment. The bit that interests me is that the original patrons all put £15,000 in each, right?
I think it was ten minimum.
So now you can get what they had for £100 or £1,000. I would imagine if I was in the patrons group, I don't know if I'd be happy with that.
I don't know how many of the patrons there are now. Genuine question, because I know there's 27
yeah.
at the beginning. Somebody said the other week they'd heard it was about half of that now.
Oh, really?
I have no idea if that's true or nonsense. Hopefully one of the guys can come and clear that up.
But
you make a fair point about there's a big difference financially.
Yeah. And it seems that you're getting the same thing for it. I mean, we obviously, you know, constantly when we get these board dates, it really just comes down to give us your money. It's like Bob Geldof. We know how important the money is as fans, and I think we've all, as fans, put our hands in our pockets. You see, saw the sales on the strips, you know, the 5,000 strips gone, which is phenomenal.
Crowds have been great every week.
Crowds have been outstanding for a League One team. We all know that the team that's getting put out in the park is a Championship team, and that doesn't come cheap. We've just seen that we've signed Callum Morrison up. You know, the supporter society has grown exponentially over the last season as well. You know, there's only so much we can do as fans, you know, and so much money that we can give. And I get that we keep asking it and we keep pushing it. And it's great to see, obviously, the investment that's been owed to into the academy. But there is going to be a point that we're going to have to look elsewhere for money rather than just keeping looking at the fans. Now, whether I've been an advocate and we asked Jamie about this, when we've got huge industries on our doorstep, Ineos, Malcolm Logistics, you've got the massive big Asda distribution centre sitting right within a stone's throw of the stadium. We're going to have to start looking at outlets like them to try and get more money into the club. You know, that because the supporters are doing what they can. They really are. And I mean, I can't stress that much. But there's going to have to be a point that we're going to hit our... You know, and I get the point that, you know, there's 900 in this Falkirk Supporter Society. We're getting crowds of you know, 4,000 to 5,000. But there's going to have to be a bit of a realization at some point that there's going to have to be money coming from other places rather than just the supporters' pockets, because there is, you know, a level that we get to when it comes to that.
Did you see the natural ceiling point is quite right, John? I get it. I know historically, the question was asked to BP back in the day. This is going years back. But their sort of response at the time was, well, we can't really give to you guys because then we'd need to give to every other team close to any refinery or plant all around the world. So it would be the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah.
Did you see the FSS survey that came out last night?
I did. I filled it out this morning.
So potential £60 donation on top of your season ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
So I don't know how, you know, what the uptake on that will be like because of the very point that you just mentioned.
And I've said it before, it's a business. It's a business. It's not a charity. Do you know what I mean? We as supporters probably see it as a charity because we love it. You know, we've got Falkirk running through our blood. Navy Blue runs through our blood. But at the end of the day, it does sometimes feel it's been run a bit like a charity and the caps in hand constantly when we should be looking at business ways. Listen, we're doing well. It's a conversation for another day. But, you know, when we get these board updates, it is just good, 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 good. Money, please. You know, so... But there we go. Anyway, good stuff. Always well in the park. And we raised 25,000 at the Falkirk Speakers Night the other night there, which was a fantastic night. Thoroughly enjoyed myself at that. I am just so happy that when we went up the town afterwards, that behind the wall was shut. Because that would have led to a lot of trouble. So, yes, glad it was shut and I just went down the road because otherwise it was going to go Pete Tom. But no, it was a great night and Peter Martin, John Gagan, just the best. The absolute best.
He's
so, yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. So 25,000 raised for the Academy on that night. So brilliant work. And talking of raising money, more money questions. The Ultras, shout out to the Ultras. They went in with a target for £1,876 for an end of season display, and they've made so far about £2,500. Brilliant work, boys. Absolutely tremendous. And you saw the scenes at the train station at the weekend, the scenes at the end of the game. As we said, like the Ultras, I say it time and time again, they've made such a huge difference this season and to the team as well.
Been absolutely fantastic. Cannot praise the lads highly enough. I know there's a few of the Ultras who, you know, give them a hard time or dislike the name because of connotations. But yeah, at the end of the day, this is a group of guys back in their team. They've made a fantastic atmosphere and long may it continue because I genuinely, genuinely mean it when I say it's been a breath of fresh air down at that stadium. It's been what's missing since we moved in, and more power to them. I hope it goes from strength to strength.
There's no coincidence that how well we're doing on the park this season has been with the launch of the Ultras. And, John McGuinn said it himself, they keep the atmosphere going, they get the team going. You see how the team celebrate with the supporters at the end of the games and when they score goals. There's no coincidence there. So well done, boys. I'm really looking forward to seeing the end of season display. Can't wait to see that. Right, let's talk football now. And there's a bit to talk about, but let's get our guest pundit on for today. He's in a band who are playing Behind the Wall this Friday. The best thing about this band, though, is Andy, the drummer who we're about to speak to, he plays in a Falkirk top. The band are called Parley Ammo, and please welcome to Falkirk Daft, Andy Haxton.
What's happening, Trips? How are you doing?
Good to see you.
Right, now I'm trying to educate the masses on Parley Ammo, Andy. For anyone that hasn't heard the band, how would you describe your sound?
The band would probably disagree, but I think we're something in between Primal Scream and The View. Quite 90s, bit modern, poppy. Guitar music, but it's good, it's quality.
Yeah, yeah. I made this reference to Andy because I went to see the band at the garage just before Christmas. Brilliant gig, by the way, mate. And I said, you sound a bit like Prefab Sprout. And Andy's like, who the fuck are they?
I can see it.
No, but brilliant band. Looking forward to playing the Behind the Wall this Friday.
It'll be good. We've never played Falkirk before. It's overdue. Oh, it's Amphi Falkirk, all them, they're all for Perth, so...
They're all St. Johnson supporters, aren't they?
Aye, they are for all their sins.
Now you.
I've been in the rear for a while, saying we need to get a gig in Falkirk. So we spoke to Brian for behind the wall and got it set up. So it'll be good.
Oh, tremendous. Is the stage going to be big enough for you lot? Because you've got a fair amount of numbers on stage.
Find out on Friday.
Well, listen, get yourself along to the gig. Tickets still available, Andy, aye.
There are, aye, there's some left. I think there'll be a few on the door at the night too, but it'll be packing, so looking forward to
That'll be cracking, mate. Absolutely
it.
brilliant. Like you say, blown away. I was stood next to your dad at the gig, and he got a, I believe he's got some sort of Falkirk stroke St. Johnson Parliamo flag made up now, hasn't he?
Ah, you did. There'll be, I think I'll put it up on Friday and behind the wall. I've got it up
Tremendous.
on my wall in the house. They got two of them. I think they cost like 100 odd quid. So I've got a big
Super.
Parliamo scarf on my wall. There's a Falkirk badge, but there's also a St. Johnston badge there, so I need
Yeah.
to rub that
I
need half and half stuff.
out.
Aye,
Get out in the bin, half and half stuff. We're talking to you. If you are listening to the podcast, Andy's sitting here in a classic Falkirk top. Lewis, what year was that? Our official strip
so
geek.
95, 96, because 94, 95, we had the kind of marble one. And the one that Andy has on, which for the benefit of anybody just listening, is the one obviously navy blue, but had the steeple on the sleeve. It was the yellow Beezer Holmes was the away shirt for both years. And the latter year was the first ever third shirt, which was the white with the kind of paint splash on it.
And that's your official geek update there. Andy, I'm presuming that's not your top, that's your dad's top, isn't it?
I have nicked quite a few of my dad's Falkirk tops over the days, but I'm a bit taller than my dad. But somehow, I think they used to be bangy made back in the day, so they're,
Our baggy mate.
I'm saying they're too big on him. I'll take them.
True, tremendous. What top are you going to be wearing? Because like you're always wearing a Falkirk top when you're drumming, Andy. What top are you wearing on Friday night?
I don't know. I usually decide like a couple of hours before we start playing. Last
Superb.
minute central. I think last time we played in the garage, Smudger, Stevie Beveridge was trying to offer us one of his tops, one I didn't have.
Oh, did I take one off him? Don't know where that's been.
I'm sure there'll be a few Falkirk fans there on Friday. I
I'm
appreciate it.
sure there. I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there
Yep.
will be. Listen, Andy, you're pretty much home and away. It was through your dad that you got into Falkirk. Can you remember your first game?
So I can't remember my first game, but there was a video of that season really. So it would have been 2002 or 2003. I just turned 3 years old and my dad took me. And apparently it was a game Andy Laurie broke his leg and
Oh, John Potter. John Potter.
I spent the best part of a few years saying to my dad, "Well, how's the boy with the broken leg? How's the boy with the broken leg?" So I do it, but my first memory of being at a game was when I was a mascot when I was 6 years old, but I've got lots of vivid memories of that day. So my dad told me earlier I was six, which amazed me, but
Can
that's my first proper memory.
you remember what game it was, Andy?
And we played Hibs and we drew and it was pishing down. That's all I know.
Lewis is casting his mind back.
Trying to think, it must be late, about 95.
I was born in 99 and I was six, so it would have been about
Oh,
2005.
can't. Aye. Do the maths, Lewis. Do the
I was
maths.
going to say, I forget how old I am at the
It's
moment. But aye.
interesting.
Who was your favourite Falkirk player then, Andy, growing up?
So I don't think anyone's ever said this on the podcast, but for me, it doesn't come close. Craig Sybold.
Sibs, yeah. But see, you're a young lad, Andy. So you probably missed it. I mean, Latapy is probably a bit just
Vague memories,
big
vague memories.
memories. I.
But when I was like 14 up till I was 18, that's when Subs was really in the squad, and we
Yeah.
were flying. Then got into the Scottish Cup final and whatnot. And
Yeah.
I actually bumped into him one night, so I met my hero. We were at a, I was at a Kevin and Perry night at SWG3 with all my mates. So this was the season he left. It must have been, I think it was 2018. Then it was. A few, it was like February or March or something, a few months before he left the club. I was in a condition. And then I've got Kevin and Perry, jam sandwiches and all sorts. I'm walking on the dance floor, look up. There's Craig Savile, no
Jesus. Amazing, amazing. I saw him in Bar Leo in Linlithgow a couple of weeks back when I was having my tea, and I was like to my wife going, That's fucking Craig Sybold. She's like, who? I'm like, Craig Sybold. Anyway, my father-in-law was also there, and I said, that's Craig Sybold. He said, oh, so it is, so it is. So I'm doing this, like, he's a hippie, but I'm doing this sneaky kind of selfie shot, like, and then it sibbled over my shoulder kind of thing. I sent it to Ross, and I was like, look who's here! I'd had no balls to go and say, all right, Sibs. He was with his mates, obviously having a bit of dinner and all that, but there they are.
For me, no one comes close, but it's Sibs.
Be great to have
him back. He's a good lad. He's a quiet, believe it or not, he's quite a quiet lad as well, but he's really easy to get along with. He's a lovely guy.
And he does say like quiet, you say quiet, Lewis, but there's not a video kicking about the internet of him pished singing Let It Go from Frozen.
Is there not a video of all of us pished singing Frozen songs? I mean, come on. We've all been there. That's a Friday or a Saturday.
Very true. Very true. Superb. Let's talk football then. Two games to talk about on this week's podcast. We'll quickly skip through Cove because it seems like an eternity ago. Lewis, you managed to get up after leaving the house. Amazingly, Lewis messaged us at 6:15 and managed to get up for kickoff, which was unbelievable.
It was quarter past five, I left. And I was maybe 20 minutes early ahead of kickoff, 20, 25 minutes. It was 2 hours, 3 minutes.
I don't know how you've...
Allegedly.
Lewis, of course, went at the speed limit all the way up the roads to Aberdeen. Uh-huh. But well played, by the way. I was like, because I messaged you going, there's no chance you're making kickoff, mate.
I know. Somebody stuck a meeting in at 4:00. I was hoping to get away at 4:00, and somebody stuck a 4:05 in, which as far as I'm concerned is a crime. But at 5:15, got away and made it. And yeah, it was worth the trip.
Well done. Yeah, well, it certainly was. Looking quickly at the game, Tom Lang missing. Lewis, what's your inside sources saying about Tam Lang? Obviously missed against Stirling as well.
Yeah, so I spoke to Tam on Saturday, just after full time. So I'm going down the tunnel and said to him, you know, basically how long? And straight from the man himself, he said he's hopeful of some involvement on Saturday, to some degree, but if not Saturday, certainly a week on Saturday.
Well,
so it's not like a long term thing.
In saying that, though, Mr. Henderson went back into centre half, and in the two games has been brilliant.
Man of the match against Stirling for me.
That's phenomenal. He was behind us, Tom Lang, on Saturday doing Falkirk TV, John. I was going to ask for a picture, but I don't know.
I'd have been jealous, Andy. I'd have been jealous. Everyone's getting their pictures with one apart from me. Morrison, it was good to see, though, Callum Morrison after going off against Annan. He was straight back in against Cove as well, which is good to see as well, Lewis.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Cal, you know, any time Callum Morrison goes down and he holds that knee in any way, you know, there's always that wee bit of kind of sharp intake of breath, but no, great to see him back. And you know what? Popped up with the goods yet again, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. A pretty dominant performance, Lewis.
Cove, I think, do you know, we were comfortable all the way. And I appreciate at least from what I've seen on the replays, there is a big question mark over whether Finn Yates was actually playing Romain Borrell on.
Oh, he definitely was, which made it even sweeter.
It looks to me like he was, right? So, right up your Hartley. But no, I think somebody pointed out when I said I felt a wee bit sorry for them, because actually we dominated that whole game. Had they got an equaliser, you know, it would have been daylight robbery type stuff.
Mm.
Also, do you remember what happened in August?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Remind me.
Let me clue you back in. Ball comes into the Falkirk box. Striker and defender go up for it. Referee goes, penalty. That ball hit a hand. And it did hit a hand. But it was the striker's hand. Now, that's not too bad. But when one of them is a black gentleman and one of them is a white gentleman... I mean, I know we slag off referees for not seeing things, but come on, there's levels to this game.
Yeah.
So actually, that one just finally evened out.
And it got up Paul Hartley, which is great. You know, Calvin Miller came off the bench. Oh no, he came off the bench, didn't he, Calvin? And got the goal. Keeper maybe could have done better with it. Keeper actually had a very good game for them, but I mean...
Great.
Good. Calvin Miller, just again, we talked about it at the start of the show. Who's a better player, Miller or Morrison? again, you could toss a coin. Miller came on, did the goods.
Please answer that. Who do you think the better player is out of the
two? Andy, let's put it to you, because we asked it at the top of the show and we just threw it out into the ether. What do you think?
If you want someone dribbling with the ball, probably Calvin, but if you want someone to go and win a game for you, it's Cal. I don't know. That's impossible.
We say it's the impossible question. It's the impossible question. But yes, got up there, up the road, midweek, come away with a 1-0 win was a massive result for us, especially when we know Mr. Hartley would be desperate to get up. However, the best part about the whole match was our friend Ola Lawal celebrating with his team in the tunnel at the end. Go on, Ola! Love that.
And you notice, of course, he wasn't then in their matchday squad the week after.
I did notice that as well.
Was he not?
No, he was at fourth bank.
Yep. Oh. So I love Ola. Just Ross isn't his biggest fan. I think he's got something to offer Ola, but I think the problem is we've got another man who offers something similar in Mr. Aguiman that we've got on the bench, and I don't think you can. I think the world would implode if both Aguiman and Ola were on the pitch at the same time. I think it happened at Aloha actually earlier in the season, but I feel sorry for Law, but it was great to see him up there celebrating with the teams. Couple of comments on the match. We've got Tom Lang's ding-a-ling. Aye, we looked in control for large parts, but never scored. All it would take is one wayward headed back pass, and oh fuck, that happened. And an offside that went way for once. That's karma for Hamilton's first. Thank fuck for Mackie and Calvin combining. Almost there. The Navy Blue agenda says very convincing apart from start to finish. Just couldn't get the ball in crucial areas. Really like Tate, Spencer, Nesbitt trio. Spencer was tremendous. Hendo always didn't look out of place at centre half. Great performance. Charlie says Kovac offered nothing. All matches were extremely comfortable. Brilliant goal to seal it as well. Everyone was excellent and felt Sam Long had nothing to do. David, Spencer's been brilliant, but least said about his corners, the better. Great result. Big Tom wasn't missed. Hendo was superb. Can't wait until we're champions. That was you that said that, David. Chris, a very dominant performance. I thought we're a little bit sloppy at times. Tate and Spencer were great. Hendo slotted into centre-back with ease. It's done. There's no way that we don't get 11 points from 9 games. That was the end.
Sorry, yeah. My personal highlight, John,
yeah,
was the fact the old boy who'd been screaming blue murder behind me and Al all game, literally 4 seconds before the assist goes in, gives it the old, "What you doing, Mackie? You've been useless, Mackie," as he skins two boys and delivers the most beautiful cross you've ever seen.
Dude, I mean, two big assists. You know, they got the assist against Allen as well, Sean Mackie. He's done well when he's come in for McCann, Andy. Oh, that's the genie's out.
Oh, see, Mackie, I'll always hold a special place for that challenge you done against Hibs a couple of seasons ago, but yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's off the ball, personally. I think he slows the game down a bit.
That's interesting. Is
it difficult, Andy, for the fact that he's behind a guy who I would kind of equate to a modern-day player called Scott McKenzie in terms of he's just a 7.5 to 10 every single week?
Yeah.
Because that's what Leon is, right? Leon.
Jamie McQuilkin's another one.
Aye. He never gets the headlines that Calvin Miller or Cal Morrison get, right? But Leon McCann gives you a 7 or an 8 out of 10 every single week. Can he be easy being an understudy to that?
It's true.
Aye. You're absolutely right, Lewis. I mean, as weeks go by, we'll talk about player of the season, but it's like, Leon McCann, if any other season, you would go play the season, but there's just so many you can choose this season. It's unbelievable. Barry finishes up by saying, "Oh, celebrating with the players at the end of the tunnel was almost as good as seeing the winning goal." There we are. Right, let's move on to Stirling now. Let's talk Stirling. Changes made. McCann came back in, which we just talked about, for Mackie. Calvin Miller came back in for Ethan Ross. And Shanley was in favour of McKeever, which I probably think was... he's rotating the squad. He said he was going to do it. But I think McKeever's been a bit off the boil in the last few games. And it was interesting to see Shanley come in and get a start, Lewis.
Yeah, I think it's been coming, to be honest, John. Do you know, I wasn't sure what to make of it when we signed Ross at the start of the season. Let me give him credit right at the start by saying I think he's done better than I thought he would in terms
Ethan
of...
Ethan Ross, yeah, or McKeever. Sorry, Ross McKeever.
Ross McKeever. Yeah. Because Ross McKeever, to the extent that we knew him from time at Alloa, he wasn't an out-and-out goal scorer. And I guess at that point, when I didn't know too much about him, his recent form has been what I thought I was going to get at the start of the season. Yeah. I think August to Christmas, he's been very good. But realistically, I think, to be clear, cannot fault his work rate, puts loads of effort in, fair play to the boy. But since the turn of the year, the goals have just dried up a wee bit. Mm. So, yeah, I have to say, I wasn't too surprised to see Ryan Shanley come in.
Ross had him down for 30 goals this season, of course, which he famously said in this podcast.
I remember at the start of the season, I put in my group chat, I said, oh no, but Ross McKeever, he only scored a few goals last season, but I think he's been great this year. His hold-up play against Hamilton a few weeks ago, he was brilliant.
His ability in the air, I've talked about this before, like when he came into hospitality, like, I didn't realise, like, I was kind of looking down at him, do you know, and I thought he was bigger than he was, because his ability in the air says that he should be taller than he is, do you know what I mean? Because his ability in the air, and we'll talk about the, you know, the goal which won the game, but his ability in the air, and it's like you say, Andy, his hold-up play is excellent, and you can see that's why McGinn's bought him, because it's probably the player we were missing last season.
Aye, no, 100%. But I was speaking to this again to my dad earlier. Probably the only area in the squad almost with the goalkeeper I would want to see strengthened next season.
I've said something similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The team, four right down the middle.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, John.
Yeah, I think I said it was at last week's podcast. See if you had a Ruddin in that side.
Yep.
He would, you know, if we could get Zach Rutten with Ross as an understudy, would you keep, like, Ryan Shanley, I think, has got a deal until the end of the season. I've been impressed by Shanley and what he does. Would you keep Ryan Shanley in the team as well?
I was impressed when he came off the bench, but I thought he was off the ball on Saturday. I didn't think he was anything special, but then again, the full team weren't firing on cylinders, so.
Yeah.
Conundrum for me. I think Ryan Shanley technically is very good. Ross McKeever, by far the better in the air, more physique, better frame about him. In an ideal world, you'd want to merge the two. Although, knowing our luck, you'd end up with a 5'6" boy who couldn't kick his own arse. Well, a bit like me, to be honest. I think you're right, Joe. It's a good shout if you could get someone up front. I think with Sam Long going, we need an experienced goalkeeper alongside Nicky. With Brad Mackay likely to be away by the looks of it, you need an experienced centre-half to cover for Tom Lang and Cole.
Oh, you've got Hendo.
Well, you could do, but then you miss Hendo's physicality in midfield, and that brings us nicely to that last position that obviously Dylan Tate currently is only on loan. We don't know what's happening. I think Stephen McGinn's contract is up in the summer. Yeah. So chances are you need an experienced midfielder. So for me, only personal opinion, four experienced guys right down the spine of the team.
Interesting. We'll see. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. But
we are.
Let's go back to talking about Sterling. We're talking about experience. Sloppy goal. I thought Sterling, credit to them, I thought we were the best team in the first 25 minutes. And I think both Gary Oliver and John McGuinness alluded to that in their interviews. But I thought they gave us a lot of trouble and a lot more trouble than a lot of teams have. I thought the boy Carrick up front worked his socks off. He was breathing at his arse at the end. I'm not surprised he worked so hard in that game. Really sloppy goal to lose, though. It was just a bit of get it clear, oh no, it's not clear, and it falls to Paul McQuay and he slots it past Sam Long. Poor goal to lose. Good boys.
Randy.
Aye, I thought first half Sterling played really well. That I thought at the end of the game they were unlucky not to get away with a point.
Mm.
As well, the goal they scored But Tate playing him onside. And then as well, in like the 40th minute of the game, do you remember they had two corners, Stirling? And
yeah.
We were totally switched off. They had, that's when Sam Long made a great save.
Yeah.
They had so much space.
They did the same corner twice, Andy. I was like, that's the corner they've just did. And Sam Long had to pull off a really good save. But I was just shouting, they've just fucking did that. Go and defend it.
Aye. Then back on Dylan Tate, I was thinking during the first half, he was one of the players who weren't quite 100%. Then I thought on the second half, when we started lifting up the tempo, he looked unplayable. He was excellent when we lifted up the tempo. And that's all we needed to do. As soon as we lifted up the tempo, better team, creating chances, that's when we went on to win it.
No.
Do you think, Andy, that's because, I must admit, I noticed that for me as well. I agree with what you said. Dylan, I thought, first half, it's because he doesn't like, in the nicest possible way, he doesn't want to be in defensive areas.
There was a few times I saw players running by him to go and defend.
Try to be polite, but yeah, absolutely spot on, John. There was a couple of times, two or three times, he just blatantly let his man go, right?
Aye.
And you're like, can he do that? But then as soon as we got possession, he's a bit like your mate at five-a-side who stands on the edge of the opposition box all game, doesn't he run? And eventually, when you run your arse off, get the ball back, he goes, get to me to score. He just wants to go forward. And I agree with you, Andy, he was brilliant going forward. It's just that defensive side that, depending on who you're playing.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder, do you think he'd be a better as a 10?
In that, I think in the Nesbitt role, that I think like we Nesbitt's been a wee bit off it. I think with Aidan, he runs and works so hard. We all know McGlynn loves Aidan, but I think
he loves him.
Oh, he loves him. Absolutely loves Aidan.
Advocate though, Gary Oliver has now come on. I need to check the stats, but Gary Oliver's come off the bench in something like the last six games now, and he scored 3 goals out of 6 off the bench.
Because he's Gary Goals, mate.
He's got to be breathing down Aidan Nesbitt's neck for that number 10 position for Saturday.
But I like the thinking of playing Tate in that 10. He has played there. So, yeah, no, I agree with you, Andy. I thought a player I would love to see us hold on to next season, I think.
Yeah, 100%. The only thing is, I just couldn't imagine him getting Hendo or Spencer out the squad. Hendo was brilliant in centre half, as we said earlier on, but
yeah.
I think we miss him big time in the middle.
Yeah, miss that physicality. We got back the sloppy goal. To be fair, we got back into the game fairly quickly from a corner. And again, we've just talked about Aidan Nesbitt, but all credit to Aidan Nesbitt for that. He got to on the stretch, stretch, managed to get it back into the box, and brilliant. That was a proper good striker's instinct goal, that from Cal Morrison, you know, getting on the end of it and just putting it past the keeper. I thought it was really instinctive, just like, because he's not, you know, he's not obviously a natural striker, Cal Morrison. He's got all his goals from cutting in, you know, shots from that, but I thought it was brilliant work from him for the goal, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, he puts a shift in Nizzy all the time, and you know, he's so hard to defend against. But I mean, the combination between him and Calvin on one side and Callum on the other, he's done that all season. He's been great, and I can see why, you know, from John's point of view, that is a dilemma now. Because as I say, Gary Oliver, Gary Goals, is coming off the bench and doing the business. But as Andy pointed out, he loves Nesbitt and he wants to be loyal to him. So it's a tough one. It's a real tough one who you go with.
Yeah. So Calum got the goal. Then we kind of huffed and puffed and seen Shanley had a good header. Well, it was one of those ones like that's going miles over, and it was like, oh, the keepers had to push it over. And then Hendo, who spoke about, unlucky with his header, that came back off the post. Oh, and saying that, I mean, Stirling hit the post as well. The supporters thought it went in, but just fell into Sam. I love when that happens. Because it's happened to us so many times when you think you've scored a goal and you go,
I was trying to conclude why they were booing Callum Morrison so much. I'm guessing it's because he's from Alloa.
No, so he started off at Stirling Albion.
Is that right? I did not realise that, Lewis. Right.
So Cal came through there and then he got a move. He went on loan to places like Brechin. So So before his Hearts days, Cal was actually Stirling Albion, and he's a local lad to Stirling Albion as well. And that's one of the reasons. Somebody made a comment to me last time at Forth Bank saying, Cal's been a great player for us, but there's almost like whenever we play Stirling Albion, he's almost trying too hard. But that's why all his mates are in the crowd, family are there, the fans react to him because he's, you know, from that neck of the woods and used to be at the Albion. And as Andy says, they're trying to noise him up. So that's the kind of balance. That's what it's all about.
I did not realise that. Well educated, Mr. Connolly. Thanks for
after
that.
After he scored his goal, he was getting pelters. I was waiting on him running up, giving the old shush. But
I just looked into his Wikipedia there. He's from Alva. So there you go. From the Hillfoots. Wow. That explains things. Right. Sam had a good game. You know, he held the ball well. I thought his distribution is the one thing that he has in front of Nicky. Sam's distribution is a lot better than Nicky's. And I thought Sam, you know, he's had his critics, obviously, against me on this podcast, criticised him last week for against Annan. But I thought Sam had a pretty solid game. Everything that he had to do, he did well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, we spoke about it earlier, that shot from the outside of the box, the amount of space we gave them from that corner, that was a great save, but to be honest, didn't have much to do.
Yeah. Came out second half, you know, looked a bit better in the second half. I noticed that McGuinn held them back a wee bit longer, but certainly came out that second half a bit more fired up, creating much more chances. We kind of turned up the heat on it. I mean, there was one move that could have been absolute goal of the season. I don't know if you guys remember it. Down the right-hand side, Donaldson put the ball through. Shanley did this brilliant flick inside to Morrison. Morrison to Nesbitt. Nesbitt then just, he didn't hit it proper. Because if he had hit it proper, Miller was just going to run into it and rattle it into the net. And it would have been possibly goal of the season. Oh, I was gutted that didn't go in.
Yeah, classy move. Classy move.
Football that side can play, but I mean, it gives you hope for next season.
It certainly does. But don't say anything about next season. We're not counting our chickens yet. Andy's got the calendar out as well. He's working out, trying to work out
some good away days next year. Some good away days.
Mate, I've been looking at that as well. I've been thinking about the exact same thing as well.
But League 2027 still on. That's what I'm saying.
I was like, Queen's Park, so we do it in Glasgow, Partick Thistle, a couple of wee days out the West End.
Airdrie's just down the road for me.
Airdrie's just down the road for you. Right. So there you go. Gary Oliver, we've talked about him, came off the bench, made a difference. Him and Tate actually made a difference when they came on, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I say, Gary's done that repeatedly in recent games. And that's why I know I kind of jumped the gun slightly there. But Aidan Nesbitt's had a great season. I just think Gary Oliver's in great form at the moment. He really has made a difference. I think we're seeing the best of him because the slight criticism he got last year was when he was expected to be a number nine. Says himself. He will play. If you ask him to do it, he will.
Yeah.
But in that number 10 role, he's really done well the last few games. And we've seen he can even play deeper as well. Good guy to have around. I think his contract's up in the summer as well. So it'll be interesting to see if he sticks around or not.
I mean, there's a few like that, Lewis, that if contracts are up that are probably mibbies. When you look at Sean Mackey, Gary Oliver. I mean, these boys, I mean, I think if we can get the league done, hopefully, I keep saying it's just in a really difficult position to discuss this because I still don't want to say anything.
But I think it could maybe happen on the 30th now, but I've got a Simple Minds gig that night, so I'm going to wait and enjoy.
That's it. We're all that's exactly the same, Andy. We're all like, right, I don't want it to happen to Edinburgh because I'm at a stag do. Lewis doesn't want to happen to Montrose, and you don't want it to happen to Montrose either. But you know, we have got a few players that are like that. I think Stephen McGinn will probably, if he wins the league, I more than likely think he'll retire.
I don't think so? I think he's still got it. I think, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he'll probably feel he's got time in him still. Whether that's every week or not, because he will need to manage the knee going forward. But as things stand, his contract with us is up, so who knows?
Is he? But then you go to the question, if he thinks he can do another season, is he a good person to keep around the dressing room? as with that experience pro.
In terms of influence,
well, he's got the coaching. The problem is, Lewis, he's got that coaching role at St Mirren, hasn't he? So,
with youth.
Yeah. So it would be, you know, that's a big question. Sean Mackey, we talked about earlier on. He's an arm one that's out of contract. Gary Oliver's out of contract. I'm just trying to think who else is out of contract. Oa is out of contract. I think
he's not out of contract. Still.
Ben Heach is out of contract. Yeah, I think. I've got a sneaky suspicion that other clubs will be in for Finn, and that he's weighing up his options because I think he's at an age and is playing so well that I think Cubs will, that will not gonna notice from Cubs.
Brilliant. What a season he's having. When was the last time you remember a player who was so good on the slide tackle for Falkirk? He just halves absolutely everyone and gets the ball.
Love it. I love a tackle. So, interesting.
I need to be careful just now, John, but all I can say is I think everyone would be surprised if they realise just how big a team are keeping tabs on Finn right now.
I mean, Real Madrid, it's unbelievable.
You got me in one, right? Yeah. But of course, the club are trying to keep Finn. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. He's been
the space.
Being outstanding, so fingers crossed we can get Finn on a deal. But I'll be interested to see what happens to others. Like you say, you would like to see the league as hopefully win it. So the likes of Gary Oliver, Sean Mackey can go out and prove that they should be in that team in the championship next season. So Oliver had a big chance again. Ball comes over from the right. Oliver's there. Brilliant save from Curry in the goals. To tip it around, but we didn't have to wait long for Gary Eagles to turn up, and it was the two substitutes that combined. Donaldson was loving the diags. He kept trying the old that. Donaldson was getting a lot of space and getting forward, and eventually he was sending balls over, and he was doing really well with them, and eventually just found that ball. There's Big McKeever again. His jump, his leap, is working there, is unbelievable. He gets the flick on, and Gary goes over his shoulder, boom, on the volley, back of the net, scenes.
Oh, it was brilliant. I was going mental. I've cut up the back of my right leg, an absolute delta, jumping up, going mental, hugging my dad. That was quality. I didn't think we were going to score. I feel like usually, even up to the 90th minute, you're thinking we're going to score a goal, but Saturday I was thinking, oh, it's a draw. We're not getting a goal here.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping they do that on Saturday as well, Andy, against Ackies.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, it was. You could see obviously going in the ultras, and you saw the scenes at the end, like the ultras and all that behind the goals, the team celebrating, a big Hendo dancing away. Loves how he dances this Hendo.
Everyone's been thinking that for weeks, by the way. Just because you see him at the end of every game going absolutely mental.
When that final whistle, he was right in front of us in the stand. He's just like, "Con!" I love that big guy. Love that big guy. So, and it was good to see it. And obviously, you saw the scenes doing the rounds on social media at the train station and stuff at the end as well. You could see how much it just means to every Falkirk supporter at the moment and how well the club are doing this season. It's a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you, after seasons of misery.
How does this compare to all the seasons you have watched Falkirk?
I think it's difficult to judge because the level we're at. Do you know what I mean?
2002-03 was up there.
Yeah, 2000.
Last year at Brockville, the place was...
Ian McCall side was... That 3-5-2 was probably as me as a Falkirk supporter was probably my favourite season because the football we played, the goals we scored, like Owen Coyle, Colin Samuel, Lee Miller, like were, you know, phenomenal. I could name that team straight away. But this team has the chance to kick on. I think this team that we've got, the fact we've got, you know, we've got all the main boys signed up now apart from maybe Finn. This team are special. You can tell the spirits there. There's a camaraderie there. John McGlynn said it in his interviews. And you just think this team can go on and do something in that championship. You know, I don't think it'll be, I think it'll take a big leap to get up into, you know, promoted, but with the group of players we've got, and you can see the spirit that's embodied within that team, who knows?
You'd have to be aiming for the playoffs. I think it would be achievable. It's a big gap. I can't understate it.
I mean, you can see Airdrie, you see what Dunfermline and Airdrie. I mean, so to that championship, you look at that championship at the moment, Jesus Christ, it is one of the tightest leagues in Europe in terms of the space between the playoff and the two playoffs, the relegation and the promotion playoffs. It's interesting. So, you know, not counting my chickens, as that'll be the name of the title for this week's episode. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Anyway, 2-1, up the road or down the road, back to Falkirk with the points. Will we hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say about the match? Let's do that, will we?
John, probably not the easiest or most comfortable of games. Left it late again, but the most important thing, obviously, the 3 points, so you must be pleased.
Yeah, we never expected it to be easy. This is going to be a difficult game. This is a derby game, you know, and everyone is well up for it, trying to be the first team to beat us. So, yeah, still in starting the better. When they got a goal, we struggled to clear the ball. We give away a free kick and the ball comes in and we've got probably 3 attempts to clear it. And they got the break of the ball every time they got the break of the ball. You know, we've got to be a bit more aggressive than that. And it breaks the lad and they stick it away. And, of course, that gives Stirling Albion even more cause to, you know, to fight for the victory. But thankfully we levelled fairly quickly. Again, a corner kick. Both their goal came from a free kick. I would say the first goal comes from a corner kick. We initially don't win the header, but it comes out. We get it played back in again. I think big call goes up and it lands for Callum to stick away. So delighted that Callum foxing the box in that moment, yeah, getting on the end of it and slotting it away. So we're back in the game. And I thought, without saying we kind of controlled it, I thought we got a better grip of the game for a while. And a couple of sniffs, you know, but then I thought they actually finished the half a little bit better. They put us under pressure, some corner kicks coming in, and we had to defend them. Second half, I thought we were much better again, without producing our flowing football. Some moments, but no, maybe as consistent as we would normally be. Fair play to, you know, to Stirling, they've been in good form, and they've made it difficult for teams here, you know. So it was a matter of keep going, and thankfully, two subs, Ross McIver heads the ball on and Gary Oliver's there to strike at home. So delighted for everyone, but it's great that the whole squad are contributing and making an impact when they come on as subs. Delighted with that. The little bits of rotations has been kind of been working, has been keeping guys fresh. And again, you know, that kind of for us worked today again. So yeah, delighted character of the team. We bounced back from being behind. Yeah, all in all, it's been a really, really good day. This last Saturday, you know, losing that late goal, and then now we've had two really good away wins up at Cove and then here today, 7 points from possible 9. Yeah, and we've started this last quarter now with the first 3 points of this quarter. We need 8 more points to win the league, so we move on to Dumfries next week.
There we go, Mr. McGlynn there. What did you make of what he had to say, Lewis?
I think he's right, and I think Andy touched on it earlier on as well. You know, first half, I thought, I have to give Stirling a lot of credit. I thought their number 9, as you said, was terrific all day. But I just feel that second half, we upped the tempo a bit. And as a result of that, we took control of the game. I don't mean that to be disrespectful to them, but I don't think they had as much of an answer when we were constantly in their faces, and just the one-touch passing at times was brilliant to watch.
Yeah, I want to see John McGlynn dancing like Hendo at the end of the season in front of the ultras. That's got to happen. You know, he's thanked the ultras so much. Thank us with the dance, John. That's all we're asking. A John McGlynn dance at the end of the season. Do you think we can make that happen?
He's pinted in a cap, right? And I hope he will make it happen, right?
He's quality. You could listen to him talk about football all day. Interviews are brilliant. I mean, did you watch Si Ferry's interview with him?
I did watch it.
I watch your interviews every week. They're quality.
You can tell he's just a man who loves football. We've obviously got a John McGlynn lookalike with us on the podcast today, Lewis, haven't we?
No comment.
Do you think he would win?
I can neither confirm nor deny that it was purely a stunt double for a year.
Right, yeah, do you think we could pass you off as John McGuinn? Because what I'm thinking is, we stick you in a hat, get that body warmer on, and then you can...
glasses, get the cap, and get the dance to go, huh?
Exactly. It could happen. It could happen. Right, let's hear what the supporters had to say about the game against Stirling Albion. Kick off with Big Hendo's dad, Willie, who listens to the podcast, Some Boy. He says, that's what good teams do. All the starting 11 and subs played their part in the win, and special mention to the Ultras. Again, they were tremendous. Grant says, we were off a bit in the first half and missed Hendo in midfield and lucky to go on level at half-time. Much better in the second half, making good use of the squad with subs never giving up. Keep going for the winner and getting our just rewards in the end. Bob, Gary goes, what a hero. I think Nesbitt needs a rest. He's just a yard off it right now. We've said it, you know, Lewis. Tate in at that 10 or Gary goes?
I just think there's options there, and I'm not, you know, if Nizzy hears that, he won't thank me for it, and I'm not and by any stretch of imagination having to go at him. He's been brilliant this year. I just think he's got two guys now breathing down his neck. If he doesn't maybe stick one in the net or assist on Saturday, I could see somebody taking his place.
Bring Alfie in down the middle. Alfie,
bring
Alfie
absolutely
back.
Bring in Captain Chaos, right? I want to make it happen. There is times in the game where Captain Chaos is required. You bring Alfie on the last 10 minutes, just go and do what Alfie does, just cause havoc. He was great at the start of the season. Bring on Captain Chaos.
He's fine only on the left or maybe the middle. For me, he's coming on the right all the time recently.
Put him down the middle. Put him.
I'd see that. The trouble is, he's either a world beater or a panel beater all at the one time.
But it's brilliant to watch. You just don't know what you're getting. I mean, do you know what? Put him up against Big Effie at the weekend. We'll see what happens there. That. Right through the middle, Big Alfie versus Effie, bring it on. That's what I want to see. Anyway.
The unstoppable force and the immovable object.
Amazing.
I thought at the start of the season he would be first name in the team sheet after Carl every week when we signed him.
Problem is,
nightmares.
We're asking the question, who's better, Morrison and Miller in this squad? We can't decide. No. And Alfie's got not a sniff of getting into the team when those two are there, unfortunately. But I want to see more of Alfie. That's got to happen. Right, once the league's done, get Alfie dude through the middle, just causing havoc. Let's make it happen. Bob continues, by the way. He says, didn't anyone else notice that Tate doesn't do any work off the ball? There you go. Jogging back when Stirling were on the attack, so much so Shanley had to sprint past them to make up the numbers. There you go. You've said it as well, Lewis. Ultras 1876. I don't know if this is the actual Ultras group, but they're on Twitter as U1876FFC. Inspired subs by John McGuinn to bring Ross and Gary Goals on. Dylan Tate, man of the match. A deserved 3 points and up the road, or down the road, as we say. Another tin pot ground we will not miss next year. I don't mind Stirling. It's an all right wee ground.
I would say that on Saturday. I think it's a quality there. It's good getting on the grass pitch. Good start. Yeah.
And see if you can get a few beers in. 7 minutes train for Arbor, couple of beers at the station hotel, up in a Stirling, couple of beers in town, out to the ground, back to the ground, boom, great day out.
I've no issues with Forth Bank.
Lewis will testify to that because even hospitality on Saturday.
It was the first time I've ever done it, but I have to say it was a good wee day out. The meal was definitely better than ours. The service was magic. The glasses were never empty at any point, and I would definitely recommend it.
See, the ginger god of pod has been replaced, but the hospitality certainly hasn't.
Hospitality.
Yeah. Chris says, dug in and got 3 points. Not our greatest performance by a long shot, but sometimes champions win ugly. Colin Hendo, great at the back. However, the midfield three were leaving gaps at times, as all three like to drift. Definitely miss Hendo in there at times. Champions elect, come on ye bairns. Caroline says, missing our Hendo in midfield, but he's covering well for big sexy Tam Lang. Love Gary Goals, always scoring right in front of us. Brilliant. Sammy done well. Our new legends just need to keep digging deep and we'll get there one game at a time. I like that, Carol. Charlie, brilliant win, a great goal to win it. I'll actually do anything for Gary Oliver after his two late goals recently. Yep. The bold Gary Oliver. Charlie said that, by the way, Gary, just so you know. And Cal finished up saying, wasn't our best today, but still a great win. Only 8 points to go. Montrose away. And in my opinion, Stirling are the only team that has been a challenge for us. Fair play to them.
I'd say Montrose, for me, gave us the best game that I've seen. Stirling have been really difficult to break down, but that game at our place against Montrose, for me, was still the best and toughest game.
Yeah, I think Queen of the South has been tough as well. We're going to speak to Ewan Maxwell from the Dumfries Courier a bit later on, but I think Queen of the South, the way they've sat in against us, has been tough, not creating much going forward, as Stirling, I think, did at the weekend, but Queen of the South has just been tough, tough to break down.
Got to say it though, John, this is something that, you know, our mutual friend Gaz, we've had this conversation before. Can anyone tell me why they play against us and they're so difficult to break down and they play and defend like their life depends on it, and then all of a sudden Aki's roll at the town and they're bending over and living up for the Wednesday getting ready for it? Why is that? Maybe you can ask him when he comes on.
Let's ask Ewan when he comes on.
More diplomatically.
I was going to say, well, maybe put a wee bit more diplomatically than that. Right. Okay, then. Right. Now the time has come. Right. And I'm looking for a player from the week. So taking the Cove game into account and Stirling game, let's look, first of all, for our Falkirk Daft rated player of the week, Lewis Connolly. Who is it for you?
Do you know what? I'm maybe going to have to give it to Big Hendo. I thought he was superb on Saturday against Stirling Albion. I really did. And he did a good job up there keeping Remarn quiet for most of the game as well. I'd have to give it to the big man.
Andy?
I second that. I thought Hendo's done a good job. They're missing Tom Lang. I think Call misses him a little bit as well. Sometimes looks a little bit nervy. But Hendo steadies the ship.
Yeah, the boys got it because it's a full house. I thought Big Hendo, loved the guy. He just embodies the spirit of that team and he just puts himself about. He's going to get you a goal here and there, and he does brilliantly in defence as he does in midfield. So Big Hendo for me. Pirlo wins it. Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. There you go, Hendo. Right, who's Falkirk Dafty of the week? Tough one.
I wouldn't say so much Dafty. We've not had anybody make a howler either at Cove or Stirling. Not for me anyway, but in terms of being just slightly off where they were previously, I would have to say either Big Ross McKeever or maybe Aidan. I'd say Ross, just because unfortunately the goals have dried up a bit.
Yeah.
Andy, no other reason than that. Yeah. Nothing major, but that's it. That's all I've got.
I've two in mind. I was going to say, for the game on Saturday anyway, Nizzy, it was frustrating the life out of me. Gave the ball away an awful lot, but then he does win it back. And we didn't mention it, but I thought Finn, although we sang all of his praises, we actually spoke about it on Saturday, John. We bumped into each other. I thought Finn, it was his worst game for Falkirk. But if he's listening, please, he needs to stay. Don't go to him.
We're not going to give it to him because we want to keep him. So, but
it was a bad day. But I didn't think Finn was up to it.
Apparently, for Rangers maybe played a part in that though.
Yeah, McPake was actually quite good on Saturday. Who do I think Falkirk Dafty? I think just Aidan. I think he's just been, like you say, he's just been a wee bit boiled. I think he just needs a bit of a rest, Aidan, if I'm honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised. You bench him against Queen of the South? I don't know if you do. But I think he just needs a rest. So I'll go Aidan with you, Lewis, on that one. But they're all brilliant anyway, so it doesn't matter. Andy, thank you so much for joining us. It's been ages. We've been trying to get you on for ages. Thanks very much for going. Best of luck with the gig on Friday. Give us those details again. If you've not got a ticket, how do we get one?
Eventbrite, I think. I should know the answer to that.
Just go on the Eventbrite. Go behind the... We'll put the link in the bio below. So if you're just look below, like you say in YouTube, check the link below and get along to see one of the best young bands in Scotland and one of our own as well on the drums. And I'm intrigued to see what Toppy's going to wear this Friday behind the wall.
Need to have a think. Thanks very much, guys. Good speaking to you both. It was overdue.
Superb. Brilliant. We'll see you on Friday. We'll see you Friday, Andy. And if you want to be a guest pundit just like Andy, get us by email on pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Facebook.
This is Falkirk Daft.
As usual in Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to our next game. And we spoke to this man before. It's Ewan Maxwell, chief reporter for Dumfries Courier and the Annandale Observer. And let's talk Queen of the South. Ewan, welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Good, well, thanks for coming back, Ewan. I know it's been a hard old season for Queens. From going, you know, at the start of the season, I think we spoke to you and we're talking about the potential of being a three-horse race between ourselves, Hamilton, and Queen of the South. What's happened?
Yeah, I just think we've had the season to forget completely. I know it's the easy thing to say, we've had so many injuries.
Yeah.
But Marvin Bartley has said he's never seen a season like it, and he's been involved in football for donkeys. And I've got to agree with him, it's had a big impact on our season. Our star midfielder, Regan Mimnaw, he actually got injured against you guys at the start of the season.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Went off just before half-time. He's not been back, and he was probably going to play a pivotal role for us. So we've just had injury after injury. We had two centre-backs hobble off, who are probably our two best centre-backs, a couple of weeks ago. Jack Bryden's one of them, and he's a rock at the back, but he's been missing for the majority of the season. That's why we've been leaking goals, and we just can't get a run together. It's one of them ones where you don't win in five, but you get an unexpected result. For example, get a point against you guys at Palmerston. Some might say that's not unexpected with your run of form at Palmerston, but and then we go on a bad run again. But I think to be in what is now a relegation battle for us, that we're going to have to be up for it for the next eight games. But does that start on Saturday? I don't know.
Ewan, can I ask you from a Falkirk fan's perspective for a second, is there a common theme to all these injuries? Is it the training? Is it the pitch? Is there anything you guys are talking about?
No, I don't think it. We just got a pitch and a new pitch installed for this season because Queens have been terrible at home over the last few years. We all thought it was the pitch, but it's not been the pitch this season. A lot of impact injuries, actually. And I think the two I mentioned before there. But you've had Harry Cochrane go down a lot of times this season, and it's a weird one. You can't put your finger on it because it's different things. It never rains, it pours. You've got Gavin Riley, who I think he missed the last game against you guys, in a training injury, the ball hit his hand and it broke something. And you've had Lewis Gibson, who's been unwell. He's fell down the stairs, etc., etc. And Harry Cochran apparently got injured once getting up from eating. it's just been one thing after the other. And I feel sorry for Marvin with them circumstances, that a lot of players who would be first-team starters have been sidelined. I think at one game I could count 10, maybe 9 or 10 players I'd start him. They were all standing there at Kelty Hearts, you know, how the players just stand beside the dugout.
Yeah.
All in a big line. Nearly went to the corner flag. It was crazy. So we've had a nightmare season on the injury front and and getting points as well.
So is it really a relegation fight? I mean, obviously after the result against Annan there at the weekend, June, when you got beat 2-1 in the derby there, are you really looking over your shoulders now and thinking we're in this now?
Yeah, absolutely. For the first time this season, Marvin came out at the end of the season and he actually said the R word, relegation. So that's telling as it is. He's always been a positive guy, looking ahead, looking up. And at one point of the season, it did look like, hey, we're getting on a bit of a run here. Maybe we can get to that fourth spot. But then I think we beat Cove. That was 7 games ago. And we've not won in 6 games. And it's against teams like Edinburgh City. Like, we conceded in the last minute. Thanks to the goalkeeper scoring. And Stirling, for example, drawn to them. Losing to Annan. Yeah, it was a massive game because the gap would have been 10 points. And we think, that'll be fine. Don't think Annan can accumulate them kind of points. But now it's only 4 and we're playing the league champions in waiting on Saturday. So I do believe that a lot of Queens fans have are worried at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty at the club. going on from the AGM where the board have said they're going to step down.
So have the board stepped down? Because obviously there was a statement released last week that the board of the full board have just stepped down.
Yeah. Well, it's only three of them on the board. So they said that they'll be standing down at the end of the season. They'll be stepping down at the end of the season. But they said that they are more than happy to stay on for a little bit longer to help the new board, whoever that may be. There's been rumblings that a few business owners in Dumfries want to club together. There's been, is it going to be a fan takeover? There has been interest out with the UK in seasons past, but it's one that the board remain tight-lipped about it, but they'll be letting people know hopefully sooner rather than later, because they could be playing in League Two. Like, it's not out of the possibilities now, you know.
Do you think there's surprise? I work beside Marvin, lovely guy. Are you surprised he still held on to his job? Is there much pressure from the fans, or is the more of the kind of shouts and abuse being labelled at the board?
It's a tough one, because obviously you see on social media and like the on the Pie and Ball Brawls and on, you know, all the forums, that there's always going to be negatives, but there's been a lot more of that recently. Fans have been booing, fans have been calling for his head. And to me, it's a results-based business, and he is under pressure, completely and utterly under pressure, because I can't remember a full-time team being in this kind of position before. I don't know if there's a team who's finished as low as this. Well, could finish as low as this as a full-time team. But does Marvin Bartley, you know, he's had a season where he's made the headlines himself with the interview against Kelty Hearts about the video games.
He's kicked on. That's interesting. He's kicked on. That was when you went on your little kind of purple patch, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I think it was the next week that we dumped Dundee United out of the cup, so it worked. Ban the video games, Marvin.
Get off the FIFA.
Yeah.
So sorry, go on.
No.
How big a miss has Rudy Payton been?
Yeah, he's been a massive miss. I think he scored quite a few goals against you guys last season.
He always impressed against me.
Always did.
I think everyone knew he wouldn't be in League One again for this season. But yeah, we have missed him. Gavin Riley, veteran striker, club legend. He actually was sent out on loan originally when Marvin came in. They used to be teammates at Livingston, I think it was. And he got to the club and Gavin was out of form. And he said, that's not the Gavin Riley I know. So he kind of sent him packing to Stenhouse Muir. And he came back a different animal this season. And he started the season off so well, but he's kind of petered off. But we have missed Rory Payton completely, because I can't remember how many goals he scored, but I think he was the top goal scorer last season in the league.
Yeah.
And replacing that is always going to be hard to do. I think we got extremely lucky by getting him. I think he was one of the only good signings that the previous manager, Alan Johnston, actually made. So missing him, missing 20-plus goals, let's just say it's that, it's always going to have an effect on us. But we have been scoring goals. That's not really been the problem. But having Rory Payton in there, we'd be comfortably fighting for the promotion playoffs at the moment, in my opinion.
I mean, what it's always been tight. When you look back at the games, I mean, you alluded to earlier, Ewan, that we haven't got a great record at Palmerston. In fact, our resident stat Donald got in touch to say, basically, in a recent form, it's only 2 wins and 4 draws from our last 10 visits. That is pretty much the form that we're taking into that game. And looking back, I mean, Queens have given us probably the toughest games we've had this season. You know, when you look at the goal what Brad Spencer scored and
what a phenomenal goal, wasn't it?
You know, that really kick-started our season. You know, 1-0, 1-1 down there, and then 1-0. You seem to do very well against Falkirk. It always seems to be that Effie and whoever's at the back beside Effie, they just batter away everything that we throw at them. And it seems like Queens play a different game against us, and they say, the likes of Hamilton and things like that. Do you think there's much in that? Do they set up in a different way against Falkirk?
Well, they do set up in a different way against Falkirk and Hamilton. It's worked against you guys, but it's not worked against Hamilton, I can tell you that. But I don't know what it is. I wasn't actually at the last game at the Falkirk ground. I wasn't there, but I did hear we defended really well, but we didn't create anything.
Yeah,
And kind of set up not to lose, maybe just wait for a mistake, but it didn't come to fruition. But we do set up a bit differently against the big boys. So I don't know. I think that Queens, they'll probably set up in the same way as they have been, because it has worked this season. I'm just astonished that it feels like you roll over teams quite a bit, but you've not managed to do that against us, because we do have a leaky defence, an unsettled defence as well. It'd be interesting, because we did change into a four at the back against Stirling, but went back to a three against Annan. So it'd be interesting to see what we do. But here's hoping that Queens can pick up a rare home victory. We've only won three times at home this season.
Wow.
Really? Okay. I think at our place you were a four. I think it was Kyle McClelland, who Falkirk had on loan a year or so ago. I think it was him beside Effie, and the two of them just in the air mopped everything up.
It just seems to suit, like, because our game is about getting the ball out wide, getting it to Miller, getting it to Morrison, getting balls into the box. And it's been really frustrating in the games against Queens that we haven't went a bit more through the middle for me, because, like I say, Effie and it was McClellan, like you say, Lewis, just battered everything away. Every ball that came into the box from Miller or Morrison, it was just boom, 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 out. You know, they had Ross McKeever pretty much just in their back pocket for most of the game. So it will be interesting to see if Mr. McGlynn has learned from his lesson. But knowing Mr. McGlynn, he will probably just stick to what he does. But we can't complain, you know, we're unbeaten against Queen's
Park. It's worked in, what, 28, 29 games?
Exactly. Exactly, so it'll be really interesting. Ewan, what do you think the score's going to be on Saturday?
Well, strangely, I think it'll be on as even. I think it'll be 1-1. I'm only saying that because I do write for Annan Athletic as well. I had a feeling that Annan would get something against you guys that day. I just feel like you're kind of looking at your calendars right now and going, when can we win this league? And that's when you kind of slip up a bit. So I wasn't surprised, and I may have won a bit of cash when Annan scored.
All right, okay, there we go.
I'm going to be positive.
John, hit that ejector button, mate.
I do feel it'll probably be the same scoreline that we had earlier in the season. I think it'll be 1-1. I don't know. When can you win this league, by the way?
Well, it depends on Hamilton results, obviously, but I think the earliest is Montrose. If we win on Saturday, if we match results with Hamilton, it's Montrose.
Yeah, I'm going to be positive because I think we have done well against you guys, and it wouldn't surprise me. You know, he's on a bad run, and you know, a point against, as I say, the top team in the league, who are the Invincibles. When have you printed off the T-shirts yet for the Invincibles?
well, I'm swithering whether I'm still on the. I'm not tempting anything, Ewan. I'll be that. Lewis, would you settle for a draw? Or do you think it's 3 points for the Bairns?
Do you know what? I would love to think for a change we can make it a 2-1 win down there. But I think it's going to be a battle. It always is. I can see why, you know, Ewan's thinking, say 1-1. I'd like to think we can maybe go one better this time, but it's not going to be easy. But I'll go 2-1.
2-1 to the Bears. Right, okay. Well, Ewan, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hopefully we're not speaking to you next season, as I say to... Well, hopefully either yous are still in League One, we're in the Championship, or, you know, I won't talk about what the other outcome could be. Listen, thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate your time, as ever.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Lewis Connolly, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me back on the show, John. Been a pleasure.
And get well soon, Ross. And once again, thanks to our new sponsor, Falkirk Football Fans in Training and the Lava Cup. It is happening at the stadium on the 25th of May. Get down there for 11:30 for the opening ceremony. All the money raised going to Strathcann Hospice and FDAMH, which helps mental health across the region. All the details on how you get involved with Falkirk Football Fans and the Lava Cup are in the links below. And, you know, if you want to get involved with Falkirk Football Fans and training, Ian and the boys would love to have you along. And if you want to buy merch, by the way, get ready for the end of the season party. You can do that. Falkirk Daft merch is available. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can rate us on YouTube or review us wherever you get podcasts. And now it is onwards to Queen of the South. Lewis, are you going down?
Yes, I am. I am going down. On the Elliot's bus this time.
Oh, what time is that heading out of Falkirk?
I want to say it's about 12.
Oof, Jesus Christ.
With the kickoff getting moved, I'm now not sure if the bus has been moved.
It'll be a long day in Dumfries if it's a half 12.
Well, it's a long day in Dumfries all the time, let's be honest, because it's 1965 in Dumfries.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people I think will be enjoying the train down to Dumfries. I know that. It's always a good wee day out, Dumfries. I will be watching it, watching the pennies, because I'm going to Copenhagen and I heard it's £8 a pint. So I'm watching the pennies because I've got a stag do there, and hopefully we won't win the league that day, which is against Edinburgh at home. So fingers
crossed. John, just to leave you with, stag do in Copenhagen, the pub just off the main square in Copenhagen, blast for the past, it's Rosie O'Grady's.
Fantastic. We'll definitely be showing the Falkirk game in there then. Listen, thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We love the continued support of the podcast. So many people say to us, stop us at the football match and say love the podcast, which is great. And as I say, thank you for your continued support. You can watch us on YouTube, you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Now, I usually say at this point, we've had Lewis on a couple of times, so he needs to, you know, get the old catchphrase from his match interviews back out the bag, and we'll leave you with Lewis Connolly and his catchphrase.
Expect the unexpected, and it's your time.